make you, I can make you put your phone.
Inside the Driving Five, a little Erykah Badu. DJ Hilson, he apologized. He couldn't make it in today. He got some things going on. Had to work over at the county building. He looked forward to his radio show. And it's not too often DJ is not here on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month. Going to the phone line, though, is a very own John Covington getting ready for the play. Women at the Cross, the Seven Last Words. How you doing, JC?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
It's great, man. It's great. Nice. Great. I hope the storm don't come. Just blow over. Hope they're wrong. Hope we don't.
I do too.
Hope we don't get no snow tomorrow.
Right.
Because technically, I am kind of, I'm over it.
Absolutely.
Been over it.
I concur, my good brother.
I thought we was past that.
Exactly.
Thought we had moved on from that.
Exactly. Adios. No
more. Right. Right.
Say la vista. All that good stuff.
Seven last words, John. You and your cousin, Brother Booker, working hard on this thing. What can the public expect Friday at 7:07 at Angel?
Well, as you know, I listened to Pastor McCann. I listened to her interview. So as everybody knows, it is the seven last words of Jesus Christ. And on the cross, and it's being done by women. We've got Dr. Karen Cheatham. We've got Dr. Flora Jenkins, a native of Muskegon. She's coming to deliver a spoken word. She's not one of the seven, but she has a word that she'll be bringing. We've got Sister Linda Malone from Holy Trinity, Church of God in Christ. She is one of the women at the cross. She's bringing a word.
Good.
We've got Dr. Michelle Lloyd Page from the host church, Angel Community Church.
Good.
She's one of the women at the cross. She's a dynamic speaker. And of course, we've got Reverend Anita McCants, who is delivering the first word.
Right.
She's setting the tone for the evening. She, along with our worship guide, Siobhan Savage, over at Great Lakes Kingdom Ministry.
Right.
So it's we've also got Eddie Sanders Jr., who will be ministering in a congregational hymn, and we've got Jeremy Harris also, Beat Award winner from the 2015 Beat Awards for Best Local Entertainer.
Right.
And we're expecting a great time. Of course, the scenery is going to be done as only my cousin Roy Booker can do it.
Wow.
I think he and my wife are two of the most creative individuals that I know. Of course, they've been part of the Beat Awards for the last 2 years, and so you've seen his work. And we're looking forward to a great time. It's not going to be a very lengthy program. I suspect it'll be probably an hour and a half. Hour and a half at most. The seven last words are not real lengthy and drawn out. Each woman will take about 5 minutes. Some will take less than that. And so we're going to come together. It starts at 7:07 p.m. at the Angel Community Church, 446 Ada, right there at Ada at Wood Street.
Exactly. Everybody know Angel, man.
Great time.
Yeah. Beautiful church. Pastor Huff, a great pastor there, man. Do a lot of good stuff there in the community. Yeah. John,
yes,
John, is there admission or just going to be a love offering?
No, there's just a love offering. This is in remembrance of the one and only Jimmy Dow. A lot of people, younger people in particular, don't necessarily remember Jimmy Dow, but he was a gospel music icon. Right there from Muskegon, Michigan, born and raised in Bethesda Baptist Church, and he was a dynamic individual. He passed, I guess, about 10 years ago, and unfortunately, there had not been anything done to keep his legacy alive or to keep his memory, to keep him so that the young people, became familiar with him. And so Roy Booker, his best friend, decided, it's time to do something. So this Good Friday program is in remembrance of him, the late, great Jimmy Dow.
Good. When did Jimmy Dow pass? And we got DJ Hilson that's coming in the studio.
So,
okay.
It's been about 10 years now.
About 10 years. Wow.
Yeah, it's been about 10 years. And interestingly enough, his entire family was gone within a six-month period. His mother died His mother died 1 week to the day after he died.
Okay. Wow.
And it was just a chain reaction. It was crazy. He has one sibling left, and that's Judy Dow, who was the longtime personal secretary to the chief, Muskegon Police Chief, out in Muskegon Heights. His name escapes me.
Chief Howe? Chief McMurray?
Powell. Okay. Chief Powell.
Hey, John, DJ have gotten the studio, man. His time is valuable, so we got to go, man, because I know he has something serious that held him up, because he generally don't come in like this for the DJ Hilson show. So
absolutely.
Thanks, man.
I understand.
We'll
look forward to talking about Young Brothers in a day or two.
Okay, I can call you back maybe in the 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Live from the Maze and Wright Media Center, it's Straight Talk with DJ Hilson, your Muskegon County prosecutor. Straight Talk with DJ Hilson, an in-depth discussion on issues that affect you and your community. Sparking conversation, opening dialogue, and breaking down barriers. Have a question about crime prevention, subpoenas, silent observer, or about the law? Call 231-722-8338. It's Straight Talk.
Straight Talk. Straight Talk.
With DJ Hilsey.
DJ Hilsey.
Hey, Muskegon. I'm about a half hour late today, but I was coming from a meeting, and I was actually down in East Park Manor. We had a meeting down there with all sorts of people, and I let them know that I had to leave because I had to come and do my show, and then they teased me about that. So I just want you to know I took some ribbon today to make sure that I got down here to do the radio, because it's been a while. It's been a few weeks. I can't remember my last time I was supposed to be on the radio. I had a conflict of something, and I can't remember why, but I wasn't able to get here. But happy to be here now.
Good to see you,
DJ. Yeah, it's good to be here. It's good to be back on the air, because I miss it. I love radio. I love doing it, and so it's just nice to be here.
Good, good. Well, I thought it might have been like emergency trial or something.
No. I mean, it's been a busy day for me today. I've been on my feet a lot today. In fact, I didn't even get to the office today. I've been on the go since about 7:30 this morning, and haven't had an opportunity because of the different commitments I had today to even get to the office, sit at my desk today. It's good. It's all good.
You're out in the community.
I was out in the community today. A lot of community engagement today.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was good. I was at spent most of the morning and a little part of the afternoon at Reese Puffer High School today, dealing with some issues that they had there, talking to the entire high school population. So, and they broke that up into four different segments.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. That's good. So it was good. But I've got a meeting yet at 6:30 yet tonight. So I'm not sure if I'm going to eat dinner yet tonight. I haven't quite decided.
Well, don't run yourself too bad. We need you to be healthy.
No. I'm trying to take care of my body. You know, I'm working out pretty regularly now since the beginning of March, and feeling good.
Okay.
Trying to find that next level, man. You know, that second gear. Especially in the late afternoon, you got to find that second gear.
Right. Get winding down there. You want that? Wow. Well, that's good. Anything new, DJ? Anything new happening?
We've got a lot of. You know, I spent a lot of time with Chief Thomas today, and. You know, he was asking me about some things, about my support for him on some things that he's planning for the city, some good stuff, and we had a nice conversation about that. And you know, I know he's got some interesting initiatives he wants to get going, and that kind of segued right into the meeting at the housing at East Park Manor with the Housing Commission and Governor's Office and State Police, myself, and the City Council and the Chief, and even the Community Foundation, and really talking about how we can make that area of Muskegon Heights a safer place. All really good things, and very progressive thinking. So I'm really excited about the next coming months and some of the things that we're going to try to try to accomplish. And certainly in some respects, in some of the areas where we're going to send some pretty strong messages that, you know, that particular type of behavior or the way that you're running this particular house isn't going to be tolerated anymore. And we're going to make it very uncomfortable for those folks if they continue that that kind of course of conduct, that criminal conduct, I should say, not the non-criminal, but the criminal conduct. And so, you know, it's to me, it's been a long time coming. I'm happy to really support the police department and the chief and some of these things because I think it's necessary. Right. And it'll be a good thing. It'll be a good thing.
How are we on crime? Is it, would you say it's on a downward trend?
Well, I mean, I may have said this before, but certainly over the past 2 years, we've seen a downward trend in our criminal statistics. And I know that the 2015 numbers are just now being certified. You know, what we look at is the FBI requires departments to report certain crimes to them, and state police also has some similar requirements. And, you know, police departments, it's not a January to December type thing. Police departments have some months in the year that's the preceding year to make sure that they've coded crimes correctly and that their stats are up to snuff. And so that time period, I think, is just about ready to end, which means that we'll have the numbers for 2015. I can say that in my conversations with Jeff Lewis and on this issue, that the city itself has continued to see a downward trend from the last 2 years. And so I'm taking that as an encouraging sign that we're going to see that across the county as well. Which would be great, which would be, again, another positive message that we are, in fact, obviously we still have some issues, but we're not the crime-ridden, high-crime city that, these other areas that surround us are trying to make us out to be.
Right, right. At the jail, have all the inmates moved over to the jail?
Yes.
And is that like half full or 4.4?
You know, I don't know. Last time I had heard a capacity number was probably a couple of weeks ago, and I think total capacity is almost 600, and they are maybe just above 500, maybe below that. I mean, I know that that the sheriff's department is trying to maintain a level where it's 85% full as opposed to 100% full, and that helps for classification of inmates. It helps in keeping certain inmates away from one another. And so I know that they are there. I would be surprised if at any time soon that jail is at 100%. I mean, that's not what it was designed for. It was designed to modernize what our jail facility looks like and also give the sheriff's department the ability to manage it properly that keeps inmates and staff safe. And so I think that's the level he's trying to keep it at.
Wow. So it did see an increase then, because the previous jail, what capacity was 300 or something?
395 or something like that. When they built this, it was to modernize, but it was also to increase capacity. So, I mean, there was a change in the number, the total number.
Right. Right. 231-722-8338. You got a question for DJ. Give him a call while he's here. I know it's a condensed show.
Condensed show, right? Fly in, right. Throw the headphones on, get the intro rolling,
right?
And I mean, I hate that. I like to start on time, but
you got stuff to do, man.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But yeah. You know, it's unfortunately it's all the commitments. They're starting to catch up with me a little bit. So I'm looking forward though, because I'm by the end of this week I'm going to be on vacation. It's time to recharge the batteries, buddy.
How long are you going to be off?
For a week. For a week.
Are you going to the island somewhere? Or Wisconsin?
No. I'm hoping I'm going to be somewhere south. That's for sure. I'm going to be somewhere south, enjoying some sun.
So, who in charge when you leave? Who in charge?
Usually, my chief. My chief's in charge. Tim Mott. He runs the show.
Okay. All right. And who's below Tim Mott?
Then the next one in line would be my chief trial lawyer, which is Matt Roberts. Okay. Those between myself and those two, we formed the administration. And you know, unfortunately, when I say I go on vacation, I still take my laptop, I still have my cell phone, and I'm still, you know, when things come up that need my attention, I'm still addressing them.
So even when you at Walt Disney World, you in line, might have call you. You
yeah.
pick up.
If it's an issue, we got to deal with it right then and there. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's just that's the nature of the job. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just it. You can I would not feel comfortable totally cutting myself off, even though I'm sure people would say that's stupid. You got to do that. But I just don't feel comfortable in that. And, you know, that's just the nature of the beast.
Right. Doing a judge show last week, Thursday, there was a caller that had a question about child support warrants mm-hmm. and what she felt was a lack of effort to arrest a kid's father mm-hmm. on a warrant, I guess, an out-of-state warrant. And I said, I was going to wait till you come on and
you
see
know,
how,
I,
and
I, see I how think you I know feel. Who that caller is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, listen, it's quite simple. I mean, we, although we may have warrants on people who are out of state, and I don't, I couldn't tell you right now off the top of my head what the percentage is, but it's a pretty low percentage. Every year when we do our budget, when the county gives us our bucket of money, my extradition budget is very limited, and you know, if I had an unlimited extradition budget, I would chase after everybody that I could get my hands on out of state. I mean, it costs money.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have that. I mean, I think on average my extradition budget is anywhere from $5,000 to $7,000, which seems like a lot. But when you're talking about bringing somebody from out of state, that sometimes can be an $1,800 trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that unfortunately because of that, then I have to kind of utilize my resources in an efficient way. So if I have somebody on a child support warrant versus somebody on, let's say, an armed robbery warrant or a serious crime warrant, I'm bringing back that person because it's a FC, it's a life felony case, and we're bringing that person back. And that's not to say that child support warrants aren't as important, but in the same token, again, I have to be very efficient with how I spend that money. And there's no extra money. Once you run out of money, you run out of money. There's right. no, you can't pull from, I can't pull from another line item in my budget to try and pay for extradition. And so I get it. It's frustrating. And if it's the person I'm thinking of, you know, I've had those conversations with that person and let them know these are the reasons why. In fact, if it is the person I'm thinking of, we actually did extradite him back once. I even reached out in this instance to see if the Attorney General would help me out on that, and I didn't get anywhere with that. So,
So what happens? How did this case like that get closure? It just remain open indefinitely?
Remains open. I mean, the warrant never goes away. I mean, this is true for any warrant. Warrant never goes away. You know, we sometimes work out agreements with bondsmen. They'll go on at their expense mm-hmm. and get them. And, you know, that helps them save money when the courts if they bring them back in a certain time period, then the court isn't forfeiting their portion of the bond, essentially.
Okay.
So we will oftentimes work out those arrangements. You know, we can certainly also, as a potential, ask for restitution. But if a guy isn't paying his child support, I don't know that I'm going to be able to squeeze any money out of him to pay for his extradition either.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's an unfortunate part of the process, but in the same token, you know, I do, you know, in especially in this day and age with the budget, the way that it is, the overall county budget, the way that it is, I have to be very penny wise when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that answered a question. I don't know if she's listening or not, but 231-722-8338. If you got a question for DJ. DJ, question I have for you. Bail bondsman, how do that thing work? What's the relationship between law enforcement and bail bondsman?
Well, I mean, you know, I can't, you know, from my standpoint, I understand the purpose that they serve, and for the most part, I get along with all the local bail bondsmen in town. I don't have really any issues with any of them. And like I said, I mean, they often can be a useful tool if – for instance, we're working an investigation and somebody happens to be on bond, you know, I know that I can reach out and contact our local bonding agencies, and they will oftentimes help us track that person down. Certainly when it comes to instances where somebody who's on bond who might be a suspect in a particular crime, we work with the bonding agencies and kind of see if they're in a position to revoke their bond in order to make sure that we keep our city, our streets safe. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's an interesting working relationship. But for the most part, we don't have a lot of interaction with one another.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't. There isn't a constant interaction. It's every once in a while.
If somebody don't show up for court,
mm-hmm.
the bail bondsmen lose money?
Well, they have, if I remember correctly, the statute says that they have 56 days to bring that person to court. And the most that we can recover, the court can recover, is our costs, which usually range anywhere from $100 to $300.
Okay.
If they're outside that 56 days, then, yeah, they have the potential to lose that money.
So for $10,000 bond, they can lose all that.
They can lose all that, yeah.
And what happens to that money?
That goes to the court.
Goes to the court.
Mm-hmm.
Do the bail bondsmen ever get a chance to get that back?
Well, a lot of times they'll try to negotiate with the court on how much. Like I said, if they're beyond the time period where they're supposed to bring the person back, then they lose the money and it's gone. I mean, there's no opportunity. There's no relief there.
So it's the bail bondsman's responsibility to find that individual. Then,
right.
If
well,
you bond them out.
Right. I mean, that's the whole premise of bonding out is that, you know, the bondsman is taking some collateral.
Mm-hmm.
Or some money, and they're telling the court, the bonding company is telling the court, I will ensure that that person makes every single court appearance. So they have become the insurance company to the court on making sure that person appears. So, yeah, they're on the hook. That's why it's a pretty risky business, because you're putting your eggs in the basket of, you know, Johnny or Susie coming to court.
Mm.
For some of the individuals that are floating in and out of the criminal justice system, that's a pretty big risk.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Not one I would want to take.
No, no. You know, I mean, I suppose, I mean, I don't know how lucrative that business is. I'm not sure, but you know, it's just like the insurance business. There's risk reward. You can collect a bunch of premiums,
mm-hmm.
and then that one big claim is going to come in and you're going to shell out a bunch of money.
Right. Right. Wow. 231-722-8338. DJ Hilson here, Straight Talk with DJ Hilson. What do you think about the new Hikes police chief?
Oh, hey, listen, I love him. I think he's just a breath of fresh air. We've got such a great relationship, he and I, and it really started from go. I think that I know he's very supportive of me, and I'm certainly supportive of some of the things that he's doing. And I told him, I said, listen, I'm willing to be as aggressive or as lenient as you want. Mm-hmm. And whatever you need, Chief, you know, we'll work together on this thing. He's just been great. He has really changed, I think, the culture of that department, and is really helping to form and change the attitude of the city itself. That's really cool. It was kind of almost a perfect storm between the change in leadership at the mayor level and then his arrival as the interim chief. The two really coincided or worked well with one another from the get-go. And, you know, from a countywide perspective, or from where I sit looking in on that, seeing that happen, it's just been fantastic.
Wow, that's good. It's good to know. Over the weekend, I noticed that there was quite a few different departments inside of Muskegon Heights, or just rotating around. Is it some kind of task force?
No, I mean, I think it's, obviously I think people can expect that the state police is going to be still very active in the Muskegon Heights area, and also probably bleeding into a little bit of the Muskegon area. And I mean, I would expect that we're going to see more of that. I think you're going to see a very active Muskegon Heights presence in the city to help supplement or you know, the state police are supplementing the Heights, but Heights is going to be very active in its own patrols. And you know, I've received word that we might see the helicopter once or twice again this year, this summer, which you know is, in my opinion, a good thing. So yeah, I mean, I think again, it's the collaborative, cooperative spirit that not just at the law enforcement level, but at so many different levels that we see, that really makes this county and this community great. And law enforcement is just one, you know, facet of that, one factor.
Now, there are two judge seats coming that's open.
Yep.
It's going to be election sometime, I don't know, in the summertime. Anybody from your office running?
You know, officially, I don't know. I don't know. I haven't heard anything officially. I'm not sure. I guess, you know, those are individual decisions to make, you know, I can't really say.
Okay. All right. 231-722-8338. You got a question for DJ. Anything else, DJ, before you go?
No, I mean, it's been a while, you know, since I've had an opportunity to talk with you guys, and I just want to thank and appreciate all the work you guys did when it came to not only the press conference but the basketball game that we had at Muskegon Heights. You know, having you guys really help put that out and be a part of all that was great, because it's always great to see you guys. You know, it's really, in my opinion, a fantastic thing to be able to use this radio, the community station, the radio station, to help promote community events.
Right.
And so I really appreciate you guys being so supportive and so involved.
It was fun. I enjoyed it, and I was honored to be a part of it, and felt that that's something we have to be at, you know, something like that. But I was, even if we, man, if we wasn't here, if I, just as a regular person going into the game, I felt the spirit. You know what I mean? But just being there and seeing all these different people that normally it would take me a whole 2 years to meet with, it was like, wow. You know, did you expect to see so many different, you know, people from different backgrounds from Muskegon County?
Hey, listen, I was just blown away just like you were. I mean, you know, I walk in and I'm seeing, you know, some big time, big shooters, big hitters in Muskegon County.
Yeah.
Judges, you know, other politicians, but just all around good hearted community folks, folks that have really done a lot for Muskegon County as a whole.
Right.
Coming there and supporting. I mean, from all different. I mean, it was. It was just phenomenal. It was fantastic.
Yes, it was. It was, and it and the kids felt good.
Yeah,
and the spirit was there. It wasn't about to win.
No.
It was
no
letting. And I think I wonder how did Shelby feel when they saw this?
You know, I don't know. I mean, yeah. I do know. Listen, I do know. And unfortunately, I couldn't get there because I had other commitments. But when I really wanted to be at the regional game when Heights played Shelby and then absolutely destroyed them, I really wanted to be there because, you know, not that, listen, I don't promote holding grudges and all that, you know, retaliation. I don't, that's not what I'm talking about. But to have the ability to play those kids and say, you know what, this is to give them, I'm sure they had extra motivation that night. I guarantee you that coach probably gave them a heck of a pregame speech.
Right.
And it showed and it reflected in the final score.
Right.
That's for sure.
Yeah, shut them down. And that probably why they didn't want to come in the first place.
Hey, listen, I mean, you know, you call it like it is, but, you know, if you're a true basketball person and you cared about the game, where you played it would have made no difference.
Right.
Wouldn't have. Yeah, it's unfortunate, and from talking with some folks there, I mean, it's a community divided. I think there are people that are really upset that the decision was made not to come.
Right.
And I think there are people that are absolutely sticking to their guns.
It seems to me the superintendent wanted to come. It seemed like he wanted to come.
Well, you know, there was probably some political pressure there in his decision. And hey, listen, I mean, I certainly can appreciate that he lives in that world, but at the same token, you know, at some point in time, you have to be a leader, and right is right.
Right.
And you have to step outside the political arena and really think about what's right. When I talked to him, he was a very nice man. He was very diplomatic. He wasn't, in your face type of thing. And, you know, I'm sure he's probably not happy with me that I wrote the letter, but I don't care. It's funny because I got a call from my colleague, the Oceana County prosecutor. He and I exchanged emails, and then we saw each other at a meeting the next day. And I said, I suppose I'm not, I shouldn't probably travel to Shelby anytime soon. He said, you might want to wait. You might want to wait.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, thanks, DJ. I know you got a 6:30.
I got a 6. Oh, gosh, is it 6:05 already? Holy cats, man. I tell you what, this day has absolutely flown by. Flown by.
Yeah.
Flown by.
Yeah.
Flown by.
At least for me, it's halfway over. For you, it's over almost.
Yeah. Well, listen,
I'm here late tonight.
So, are you? You working the night shift?
I'm working the night shift today. Yeah. So
the graveyard shift.
Do a lot of paperwork that time. No disturbance and get a lot of stuff done.
Good. So. Good. Yeah. Well, no, I got a few minutes yet. I mean, I just have to go down the street for my next meeting. So.
Okay. Let me do a top hour. WSLP 103.7 Muskegon, Muskegon Heights. You're locked into the DJ Hilson show. Straight Talk with DJ Hilson. Got a question for the prosecutor. 231-722-8338.
Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How's the new feed coming? Is it up and running? You guys up and running?
Yeah, we good over there. And 106, we working on getting your show over there.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's good old Motown music during the week and EDM on the weekends.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's up and sounding good.
That's awesome.
It's peace, love, and happiness. That's what we call it.
Nothing peace, love, and happiness. Man,
every day.
Maybe that's what I need to call my show. Peace, love, and happiness with DJ Hilson.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the kind of music you're getting. It's nothing but love and happiness. And
that's
peace.
Awesome.
And getting great reviews. And DJ Q89 is doing a great job on running that. And we got some, gonna have some shows gonna be rolling out in a few weeks. And
good deal.
Hopefully, we can get your show over there and get a Judd show. And we got some other community shows that are going to be rolling out, you know, to provide information.
Nice, nice. Now, you know, I got to tell a Judge Pittman story here because, you know, after Michigan, you know, it was the day after it must have been that Monday after the Sunday selection. And I'm in Judge Pittman's office. We were talking about something. And, of course, he was donning his Michigan State lapel pin, and I think he had a Michigan State tie on, and he had the turkey feathers going, man. He was strutting his stuff. And I, you know, I gave him kudos. I said, hey, you know, I'm picking Michigan State to probably go to the Final Four.
Right.
And he certainly gave me grief for not picking him to win the whole thing.
Right.
And then that Friday happened.
Right.
And I haven't seen Judge since that Friday. I mean, is he okay? I'm worried about him because, and I don't know, see, every once in a while I know he listens. So, I mean, if you're listening, Judge, I'm worried. You know,
I'm sure he's probably okay now. It probably shook him for a little while.
Well, I mean, you know, geez.
He probably felt as bad as I did when Michigan was about ready to win this football game and his punter, you know. He couldn't kick.
Handed it off to Michigan State. Said, right. "Yeah, go ahead, score a touchdown."
Right. So he probably felt about as bad as I did at that time, and I know how that felt. That hurt for a while.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was interesting because it was towards the end of the day, and one of my assistants came in and said, "Hey, listen, can we watch the last minute of the game?" I said, "Sure, why not?" So we were in the conference room, we're watching the game, and you know, a few of us are sitting around the table, all Michigan State fans, and there was a lot of head, you know, hair grabbing and wrangling. It was painful to watch because I really have no allegiance to any one of those teams, Michigan or Michigan State, and so it was painful to watch. And the Michigan people in my office had a lot of fun at the Michigan State people's expense.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow. I was rooting for State. I'm a Michigan guy, but I was actually rooting for State. Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was because I had him going to the Final Four in a couple of my bracket challenge sheets, and that got busted pretty quickly.
Right.
But it was interesting. It was interesting. And, you know, hey, listen, that's, as my wife has said, that's why they call it March Madness.
Yeah.
That's why they call it March Madness.
Yeah, we just happen to be the victim.
That's right.
Of this madness. And then later on that night, Michigan got put out.
Yeah, yeah.
So everything was all done. Muskegon Heights lost, Big Reds lost, Michigan State lost, Michigan lost, and then the Lakehawks lost.
Oh, then they lost the championship?
They lost the playoff game Sunday.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess a team I know they were better than, too.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, so it was just this whole week.
Mm.
Nothing but L's.
Bad week for Michigan.
Yeah.
Bad week for Michigan. That's not good.
It's not good.
That's not good.
I don't know how the indoor football team did. Maybe they won.
I think they did. Okay. I think they took them to school. It was like 62 to something or other, but I'd heard that they had won.
Well, in sports, your Packers are saying goodbye to James Jones, I see.
Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad. Well, you know, he was brought in on an emergency basis when Jordy Nelson went down and had a phenomenal year. I mean, you know, he really kind of he wasn't the same as Jordy, but he certainly had a better year than he had in the past when he was playing for the Packers. And so that was really cool to see. And, you know, it's unfortunate that I hope another team picks him up because of his performance on the Packers. That would be good for him. Yeah, he's a good football player. He does occasionally have the brick hand problem where he'll drop some catchable or should be caught balls. But, you know, he made some phenomenal catches this past year. So, I mean, he's definitely one that I hope a team picks up because he'd be a good, you know, kind of a third receiver, I think, fill the void.
Well, what do you think about politics?
Boy, politics, man. I forgot. I was listening to the radio on the way over here, and primary, I think Arizona's tonight.
Yeah, Utah.
A few another, more states.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens as we get down to the wire here on who the delegates are going to be. And this craziness going on in the GOP party. I mean, I guess the politician in me is just interested in seeing that process and how it might look if, for some reason, it is contested convention or whatever the term is. If there isn't a candidate that obtains the 1,273 delegates needed for the secure the nomination,
right?
Because there's a lot of craziness going back and forth, and you know what the pundits are saying is that if the delegates somehow go against the voters' wishes, that is going to implode that particular party. That they're, I mean, you might see some serious riot action. Like, I guess it was, 68? Democratic Convention in 68? They had a bunch of riots. That's crazy to me. But, you know, people are, you know, you certainly have to respect the process. And, you know, even hearing people talk about, well, you know, we don't have to follow what the voter said. It's just like, well, why do we have primaries? Why even go through the money and the hassle for that if we're just going to, I guess, allow some whomever to make the choice for us? And that, to me, would be a travesty. I mean,
right.
You know, people go to the polls to vote, and they're hoping their vote counts. But if it's just an exercise to, you know, or a practice before the real election, I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, people are not going to have any confidence.
No, I mean, why would people come out and vote? I mean, we're already dealing with low voter turnout as it is.
Right.
I mean, let's not give people a reason to further make that a low prospect. I mean,
so you think Trump is going to be the nominee?
I mean, he's leading. I mean, he's certainly leading in the delegates and whatnot. I think that the GOP doesn't want him to be the nominee. I think they're worried that it's an interesting dynamic because, in one sense, people don't want a career politician, and that Trump is definitely not a career politician. But right. You can definitely see the difference between somebody who is in the political arena, you know, the Ted Cruz's and Hillary Clinton's and whatnot, versus Trump, who isn't. right. and how he's handling some of the questions. And I think, you know, last time, in fact, I now remember I called in, and it was Michigan primary. It was March 8th. And I was sitting outside the polling booth before I went in to vote.
Right.
You know, it's just really interesting. So I don't know. We'll see how things turn out. I mean, ultimately, I think everybody's hoping that Kasich gets out of the race because I think the idea was that Cruz might have a better chance to beat Trump if Kasich is out. Because right now, I think the anti-Trump vote is being split between those two people, which is never a good thing.
Right.
I mean, you want to collect all those votes.
And Kasich said he's not leaving.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he's in it, man. He's in it to win it now.
To win it.
Even though apparently mathematically he has no shot. And that's what I think is irritating people, is that mathematically he has no shot to get there.
Right.
So now you're just becoming an annoyance.
What do you think about the 92nd district race locally here in Muskegon? You know it's going to be voting. I think it's in August or July.
August, yeah. The primary in August. Well, listen, I've been Terry Sabo and I have. We grew up together in the political world. I mean, he first ran for office in 2012, just like me.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was a strong supporter of his back then. And I know that he was a strong supporter of me back then. And we were able to work not only together during the primary, but after I was elected and he had to go on to the general, we worked very closely when he went into the November election. And we've known each other, and we became closer as a result of that. And so I've always been a Terry Sable supporter,
right?
As a result of that, because of that relationship, I just think that he was a no name when he came onto the commissioners, and really took that and did a heck of a job to the point where they elected him chair of the commission twice,
right?
And that speaks volumes when, you know, you are somebody who is just arriving on the political scene. You put yourself in a very short period of time and your peers, both Democrat and Republican, feel that you are the person to lead the board. And they voted him twice to that. So to me, that speaks volumes of the kind of person he is, the kind of leader he is. And I just think that that's going to transcend and carry on into Lansing as well.
Wow. So far it's just him and I think Sean Mullally.
Yep. Sean Mullally, yep.
And I don't know if anybody else had declared themselves for that race. So
I don't think any other Democrat's going to declare in that race.
Right.
So I think it's going to be a two-person race.
On the 91st district, I think Liz Lamont is running for the Democratic side.
Yep.
I don't know if she have anybody that's going to challenge her in the primary.
Probably not in the primary, but, you know, it'll be another Colleen Lamonte, Holly Hughes
battle. They go ahead.
Round three.
Right.
Round three.
Right.
You know, that'll be interesting. That'll be one to watch because it was certainly close the first time around. I think it was close the second time around, and we'll see what happens the third time around.
Yeah, yeah. And I know it's county commissioner time, too. So
see
who's going to be running for re-election and who's not running and who's going to be getting the polls.
Yours truly, man.
Are you?
I am.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's quick.
Yeah.
It's been 4 years?
It's been 4 years.
Time really go fast.
It does. It does, yeah. No, I've filed my paperwork, so I'm on the ballot for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got my endorsement.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I just have to, if they ask for interviews, I had John Covington do the interviews.
Well, listen, yeah. I'm hoping.
So I won't be biased.
No, I'm just hoping that I've done a good job, and people don't feel the necessity to challenge me. I mean, obviously, if they do, we'll be ready. I feel very, very confident and strong in the position I'm in, and the base that I've built in the 4 years that I've been in office, and so I will be ready, and we'll rock and roll. But it would be nice to have an election where I don't have to spend the time, money, and energy. That would be nice.
That would be nice. One thing I can say for sure, Big Rob talks about this a lot, and he would have been here. He had the ceremony for his his baby boy is getting inducted into the like a National Honor Society for young kids.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, and so he definitely had to be there for that. But he mentioned that, you know, you kept your word. Everything you said that you was going to do while running for election, you kept your word.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times elected officials get, you know, amnesia.
Yeah. They say what people want to hear in order to get the election, and then they get amnesia. And, you know, I just don't believe in that. You know, I was raised differently, and I really believe that when I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And if I can't do it, I'm going to say that I can't do it. But if I commit to something, I'm going to do it.
Right.
And so I appreciate you saying that because I really believe in that. And I do my best every day to deliver on what I promise to do. And I still think there's some work to be done.
Right.
There's some work to be done, and I just want another opportunity to continue along that path.
Now, we got to mention that there was a protester down there.
Oh, right.
What was that about?
Listen, that guy has sent me a few letters. And what's interesting is that the case that he's talking about, I wasn't the elected prosecutor at the time that it happened.
Okay.
Nor was I the prosecutor assigned to his case. But for whatever reason, he feels that I am the cause of his problems. And that's not true. I mean, unfortunately, I think he's dealing with some serious mental health issues. And he's a veteran. I've talked to my good friends down at the VA center about him, and they know who he is, and they recognize that he does have some issues. But, you know, he was a guy that back in 2012 basically gave the police fits and was running around his house naked, fired a gun off, and then jumped and tried to steal a fire truck.
Naked?
Yeah.
Oh.
So he was convicted of the discharge of the weapon and I think of malicious destruction of police property. All right. Well, for whatever reason, he feels as though he's been framed, which he wasn't. And he wants me to exonerate him, which I can't and won't. But he spent the day trying to convince people that I framed him, which I didn't, because, again, I didn't charge it. I wasn't the prosecutor assigned to it. I was in the office at the time, certainly. But I had no contact with that file whatsoever. So, you know, he spent the day protesting. He sent me some pretty nasty letters. I mean, a couple of them I did pass on to the state police because they came close to threats. I don't know. I mean, I don't know where the guy is. And, you know, I try to be, you know, upfront. But there are some people that I'm just, I'm going to ignore him because he has no basis for what he's saying.
Right. Well, I don't even think Tony got boycotted out there all the time. I don't think.
I don't know. He ran into some protests over medical marijuana once.
Okay.
That I'm aware of.
Right.
But other than that, I don't know if he ever did.
Before you go, I know you got a 6:30. Yeah. This Clark Funeral Home. Thomas Clark Funeral Home director charges. How troubling is this?
It's really troubling. You know, it's disturbing. I can't imagine, you know, because, you know, funeral homes are not places of joy necessarily. And so when you're going through that process, that's all part of the grieving process. I mean, you want that closure and you're hoping and anticipating that you're going to get that. And the funeral homes, the other funeral homes in town, I've been to a few funerals. I mean, they go out of their way to make sure that not only is the family taken care of, I mean, that's their first priority, but they also really do a nice job with the guests that are coming and going. This situation is a travesty. I mean, to find out that, you know, the ceremony you had didn't take place with, you know, the person, the loved ones, whether it's ashes or body, I mean, to find that out later on, I mean, that just opens up all that stuff. I mean, and it's unfortunate.
To people who don't know, can you share in brief what had been going on?
Well, I mean, it was brought to law enforcement's attention that this particular funeral home may have been, one, practicing without a license, two, that there seemed to be some suspicions as to whether or not they were burying or cremating people who were scheduled for cremation and burying the ashes that during services. And you know, through investigation so far, it's alleged that that may not have been happening. That the cremations weren't happening, and even though the family was being or going to a service of, with an urn, and the urn either was filled with something other than the remains of their loved one or nothing at all, allegedly.
What was happening to the bodies?
Well, they again allegedly that the bodies were being kept in the basement of the funeral home and at some one point in time potentially his car for a period of time. I mean, it's just really bizarre behavior.
Wow. All right, DJ. Thanks, man.
You got it. My pleasure. Sorry that I was late. I promise that I won't do that the next time.
Hey, you got a job to do. We that's why we make leeway for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Yes, sir.
You have just heard Straight Talk with DJ Hilson. Listen live every second and fourth Tuesday of every month. Or catch us on the web at www.1037thebeat.com.
Broadcasting live from the Maze and Wright Media Center, celebrating 14.